Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
It's that time again. It's Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what this is. This is the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT. I'm joined by my three co-hosts tonight. We're talking about Jeff the Joker. All the way out on the left coast would be Vic Gardner, and also Black the Bookie. As always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the crazy world, wonderful world, wacky world of fantasy sports and politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. And I can always say, if you're shy, you don't want to talk on the phone, we have a chat room. You can lay your claim in the chat room, statement, question, comment, whatever. If we can answer it, or if you want us to put it on the air after you put it in the chat room, we can do that. Like I said, we got a great show in store for you tonight. But before I bring in my two guests, I wanted to introduce you to the new hip-hop star of the world right now. I'm going to bring him in with some applause, and then I'm going to play his new commercial.
When I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home, and I hear Papa John's pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle with toppings and flavor almost too good to handle. Cowboys, five stars, what I get, like a Papa John's Pepsi, double threat. Get a Papa John's large with up to five toppings and a two-liter Pepsi. People are swapping because there's no better value. Yo, catch my ride, Cowboys five-star combo for $10.99.
That was Jerry Jones, the new rap star.
Stars in the building.
Now, without further ado, like I said, let me bring in my three co-hosts. I'm going to start from the they're all from the NFC East, and I'm going to end it up with the Cowboys. So I'm going to bring in Jeff the Joker, Vic Gardner, and then Black the Bookie. Say hello, guys, in that order.
Hey, this is Jeff. How's everybody doing?
It's me, this is FSP, back in the building on MIC. Don't want to do this deal for you, and I am the best in this room.
Of course, you know it's Black the Boogie. I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there. That's the new opening for the show. Five-star Jerry Jones in the building.
Now, that's the one I want to start off the show with. I wanted to start off the show asking one of my resident co-hosts what he thought about his owner doing what he was doing. It looked like, in my opinion, Black, Mr. Jones has some African-American genes in him.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I'm just upset that they didn't call me, man. But, hey, Jerry, if you go on tour, your hype man is here. We can get this done, man. Coast to coast, five stars in the building.
Anybody else needs to comment on this? It was pretty wild, and I couldn't wait to talk to Black about it and put it on the air about Jerry Jones doing this. I mean, he looked like when I saw him, he looked like he had a little bit of rhythm, and he really was enjoying what he was doing.
Of course.
I will say this. Mr. Jones, if you're going to rap, then I think you also need to have some rules, since Dez Bryant apparently has them, or as you say, doesn't have them. Which one is it? I don't know. But Mr. Jones, Papa John's must be desperate. If they're going, if they're resorting to you in Dallas to get people to buy their pizza, something ain't right. Just ain't right.
Well, that's not, Jeff, you got a comment on that?
You know, I mean, this is news to me, Jerry Jones busting rhymes, you know. you know, I mean, believe it or not, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense because, I mean, I'm not an expert on rap music, but, you know, sometimes in a rap, you know, these guys are bragging and stuff. I mean, he really can brag. He could say, hey, I own an NFL team. How many rappers can say that? I can't believe... I mean, how many NFL owners are going to start busting rhymes and do a commercial for Papa John's or whatever? I don't get it. But, you know, this guy, I mean, he did turn the Cowboys franchise around after he bought it. He did get 3 rings. But I'll tell you, it's coming up on 20 years since those rings. You know, sometimes he kind of looks a little bit like a buffoon, you know. I mean, he's crazy like a fox, but... you know, I think he maybe should be a little less hands-on with that team. And with these Dez Bryant rules, I mean, unfortunately, he looks like he could use a little structure. But I don't know. So, supposedly those rules were voluntary, but it's almost humiliating, you know?
Well,
it's like he's still a man. I mean, it's kind of humiliating.
Wait a minute now. So you're getting ahead of me. We're talking about Jerry Jones. That's my next subject. But since Jeff brought it up, let's jump into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me apologize for the content of the opening of tonight's show. I don't much hate in the room right now. I don't understand what's going on. I thought it was a lovely Thursday, last week of preseason, and the hate is just outstanding.
Well, no hating. This is news. This is news, Black, and we're talking about what's been happening in the world of sports, and this is one of them. So, I mean, it's newsworthy stuff that has to be talked about. And I think it's pretty controversial. I'm going to go over what's been going on with your star wide receiver. I'm pretty sure everybody knows or has an idea what's been going on. Maybe they don't know exactly what the Dez Bryant rules are, and that's why I'm going to break it down to him.
It's a privilege to have Dez Bryant rules. Michael Jordan had rules. Dez Bryant now has rules. It's a privilege.
Different types of rules, dude. Different types of rules.
This is something that the Dez Bryant has agreed to, strict guidelines from the team for his conduct away from the field. The guidelines agreed to took effect August 23rd when the team returned to Dallas after 3 weeks of training camp in California. Sources say some of the rules Bryant must abide by are as follows. He's 20. Well, how's he? 23 years old? 24 years old? Somewhere around there?
No clue.
Okay. A midnight curfew. If he's going to miss curfew, team officials must know in advance. If Dez Bryant is unable to succeed on the field or off under these rules, then it'll be time Dallas to move on. He had no drinking alcohol. He's 23, 24 years old. Okay. He can't attend any strip clubs and can only attend nightclubs if they're approved by the team and he has a security team with him. Before I go into any of the other ones, I just named 3. A midnight curfew, no drinking alcohol, and he can't go to any strip clubs. He's an NFL player. Midnight curfew, can't drink, and no strip clubs. Before I go any further, I'm always going to come to you last on this.
Don't come to me at all. Continue your hate. Continue your hate segment.
This is no.
I'll wait for you guys to finish.
See, you're taking this personal. This is no hate. This is news that...
it's been all Cowboys radio for the past 10 minutes. You going to tell me it hasn't been hate?
No, it's not. No hate. I told you before, I don't hate the Cowboys at all. Even though I happen to be a fan of the best team in Texas, I don't hate the Cowboys.
Please do not bring that up. That is a whole other story in itself. As you ran from the direct known as Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez and tried to relocate in Houston. I'm telling you, I'm going to put your address out in New Jersey. Those Jets fans are going to find you.
Anyway, well, I'm going to get into some of that stuff, too, that's been going on, because I listened to an interview on ESPN Radio with Stephen Hill this afternoon. I mean, excuse me, Stephen A. Smith with Mike Tannenbaum. And I don't have the interview, but I'll give you excerpts of it. Anyway, those first three, midnight curfew, no drinking alcohol, and he can't attend a strip club, and he's an NFL player. Jeff and Vic, since Black doesn't want to comment on this, before I go any further, comment on those three restrictions.
I mean, also, why did they have to go public with this? I mean, somebody leaked this. I mean, because it's a little bit humiliating. I mean, I'm not a Dez Bryant fan, but I don't get it. There's got to be some happy medium. And now, I mean, some of those rules make sense, but do you really need to formalize that? You know what I'm saying? Now, he can go to the nightclubs that get approved by the club. I mean, believe me, he's not going to be going to all the, you know, the dance clubs or the popular clubs. He'll be lucky if he can go to, like, Applebee's and Olive Garden and stuff.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
I'm serious. You know, I mean, what's left? That's what they're going to approve. Trying to think of some of those other type of places, TGI Fridays, I don't know, they might not let him into, what's that place, Dave and Buster's. That might be too rowdy, you know. He'll be hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, now, is he allowed to date? You know, like, what if he's got a date or something and she wants to go to the club, you know? It's weird. It's just the whole thing is weird. I don't know. I don't get it. But whatever. It is somewhat amusing. I guess it could use some structure. This is maybe a little too much structure. And you know, the thing is, a team would only do this for a star player or someone with star potential, because having a babysitter for him, which is basically what that security is, that can't be cheap. Yeah, having 24-hour babysitter for that guy. I mean, are they going to be tucking him into bed at night, you know? I mean, are they going to, you know, snitch if he doesn't eat his vegetables? I mean, this is like childhood.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, is he still allowed to watch, like, PG-13 movies, you know? I mean,
damn,
when does
wow.
it end, you know? It's funny. It just, the more I think about it, the funnier it is.
I hope you're laughing Wednesday night. I hope you're having a good time Wednesday night, buddy.
I told you. I said Black's in the back fuming. I knew he had to say something. Vic, talk to me. Before we go any further,
well,
talk to me.
Of course, you know, I think it's a child mentality. And the Cowboys have been known to have these systems in place. Drew Hill, I should say, does not have a permanent job with the Cowboys for no reason. They constantly take risks on players that produce the same type of actions. So when you look at what's out there for the Cowboys and in the Dallas area, it's nothing but trouble for a young guy that's, I'm not going to say he came from a real troubled background, but he came from a background that wasn't conducive to Jerry Jones. But when you give somebody like that the opportunity to stretch out, be a big star, and just act stupid, they do. I mean, it's just like with Pac-Man Jones. They had to do that crap for him, and he ended up fighting and beating up one of his bodyguards. The problem is this. The Cowboys can't find quality talent that stays out of trouble. And until they can, they'll continually have to put these type of sanctions in place to control their talent. You know, you might as well just chop one foot off and put a ball and chain on and call him Toby. I'm just saying.
Oh, I don't know about all that. Anyway, I know Black doesn't want to comment, but let me read the other three that I have here. He must attend counseling sessions twice a week, Jeff alluded to it. He had the rotating three-man security team will leave one man with Brian at all times. So that he's got a person with him. Wherever he's living, that person is with him. And wherever he's going, there's another person with him. So he has somebody with him 24/7 at all times. Members of the security team will drive Bryant to practices, games, and to team functions. And it also said that Bryant's advisor, David Wells, will hire the security team for the wide receiver. Supposedly, one side is claiming that it was their idea. Bryant's side is claiming that it was their idea to come up with this stuff. And Jerry Jones has been vague about who exactly came up with the idea and who, we know who agreed to it. But the last three, attending counseling sessions, rotating three-man security team, and one member of his security team will drive him to practice, games, and team functions. And he's paying for it. So anybody want to comment on that? Vic, Jeff, or even Black? Anybody?
I'll say that, you know, call it a high-priced babysitting service or whatever you want to call it. But the guy, Jerry Jones, has this thing for troubled kids. I'm serious. He's like Daddy Warbucks or the guy from Different Strokes. I forgot his name.
Mr. Drummond.
He wants to take in Mr. Drummond. Yeah, he's like Mr. Drummond. Really rich, has a sympathetic ear for the low income, so he brings in the kids and tries to give them a better life. Now, some of them act like Willis and go to jail, and some of them act like Arnold and learn their lesson and go on with life. But this kid and this organization, it's just the organization. The whole problem is the organization. Change the culture of the organization and you won't have to deal with these types of situations. I mean, that's the bottom line. Honestly, Ray Lewis go ahead.
What do you mean by changing the culture of the organization? I thought this was, in my opinion, this is a one of the best franchises in the NFL, and a very structured organization that doesn't really take much as much as, say, a Detroit Lion organization that is pretty much, to me, is running hog wild and getting in trouble constantly. It seems like the only one that's really getting in trouble on a consistent basis is their star wide receiver. Everybody else seems like they're pretty in line.
But, Jerry, the problem is isn't just Dez Bryant. The problem is every year or every other year, there's a group or a person on the Cowboys organization that goes through something like this, no matter who it is, whether it's Sam Hurd with the cough syrup or whatever it is he was doing now going to jail, or Leon Led or Mark Tuinay or Michael Irvin, whoever it is, they have a culture down there that breeds dumbness. And I'm not putting this just on the Cowboys just because they're the Cowboys. It's the truth. What I mean by change the culture is stop drafting these guys that high and expecting them to change their behavior. Yeah, you might lose out on a star like Dez Bryant, but you'll end up getting a player that's not going to give you that much trouble and can catch the ball and maybe can run more than three routes. I mean, you have to look at the whole concept of the player. The Ravens have a strong locker room. The Patriots have a strong locker room. The Packers have a strong locker room. You don't hear that much from these teams. Even the Redskins. You don't hear a lot of trouble out of that organization. But every year you hear something coming out of Cowboy camp or the Dallas Cowboys, period. Because they take too many risks on these players that end up giving them bad publicity and ruining the star. I mean, that's just it. The star is a good organization. Don't get me wrong. I hate them with all my heart, but they're a good organization. But the people that work for that organization, the athletes that work for that organization, need a checkup from the neck up. And once they get that, maybe, you know, they'll become prominent again. That's just my opinion.
Black, I know you got something to chime in there on.
I'm going to say, Master, you're lucky you're not on the schedule this year. Wednesday night, Joker.
Oh,
Thanksgiving,
Lord.
Victor.
Oh.
I'll leave it at that.
I'm gonna get some.
Anyway, let me bring in, I'm pretty sure I know who this is. Caller from the 240, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
What's up, man? This is the resident fire starter up in this joint. And I'm calling this. I'm hearing my cousin talking about them Cowboys. And, you know, I don't like them. I don't. But I really think that Jerry Jones has lost his mind. You know what I mean? He shouldn't be all up in this boy's business. I said this to y'all before, and his mama done dropped the charges and whatnot. I think it's just a, they need to lead him, but they need to get out that boy business like that. Them Dez Bryant rules, he can't do this, he can't do that. I mean, I don't know, man. I got nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing else.
The other thing, Black, and I'm really not picking on him, but it is news for me.
It's been 21 minutes of Cowboys radio.
Hey, I picked on other organizations before. I've even picked on the Detroit Lions and their dumbness. Right now, in the crosshairs happens to be the Dallas Cowboys, and Jerry Jones is one of them that I'm going to be talking about. I'm talking about him saying that, putting it out there in public, wanting to kick the Giants' ass this year. And then the Giants responding back to it. I'm just going to give your answer on that, Black. What do you think about what Jerry Jones has put out there about talking about the Giants? And then the Giants coming back and saying, more or less, you need to check yourself. Let me put it that way. Talk to me, Black.
All things will be revealed Wednesday night.
Oh boy!
Oh my!
I don't see anything wrong with him saying that. I don't.
Oh boy! You got Sage or Rex Ryan syndrome, if that's what you think. You have an owner going about and talking about kicking another team's butt. You think the team wants an added incentive for the opponent? With the owner talking about kicking.
Oh,
kicking
come
the,
on, man. That's
he's back in his team. What would
come
you
on.
Expect him to say?
Yeah,
I'm going to lay down to
what
the Giants and let them whip our tails. No way. He's sticking up for his team, huh? All things will be revealed Wednesday night.
I know. You know what? I don't like the Cowboys, I don't. I hate them. But I don't see anything wrong with him saying that. And you know what? I like that type of talk, man. I don't like this whole Chicken Little stuff that's going on. You know what I mean? It's a whole bunch of Chicken Little stuff. I mean, somebody say something, you know what I mean, in an aggressive or braggadocious manner. It's like, oh, that's going to be somebody's chalkboard. Oh, da 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 da. Nah, man, that's Chicken Little. I can't do the Chicken Little. I'm not. That's not me. I respect that more so.
Well, let me ask Jeff this, because I'm looking at it from a different perspective than anybody else here. I'm looking at it as a champion, you know, who the Giants are right now, saying, look, I got two rings in the last 4 years. Y'all have had nothing but one playoff win. So I'm going to ask Jeff, since he is the resident champion for the Parley Palace, being a champion, and I know you're very...
Wait. Before you mention the Parley Palace, that was a small, tiny mistake by your commissioner. Actually, New York Jet Fuel won the championship last year, but you can continue.
Oh, I thought Jeff won. Okay. My bad. Whatever. Well, it doesn't apply to Jeff. Well, I'll ask Jerry then. And Jerry's probably more apt to go the opposite direction, in which I want him to go. Jerry, being the champion of one of the ESPN leagues, Now, me, being who I am, I'm the one that's saying I'm going to kick your butt, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm playing the role of the Cowboys. You're playing the role of the Giants. Does it give you any extra incentive to want to just go out and prove that I'm just a contender and nothing more? Or is it just the fact that, well, you know what, I'm not worried about you, Vic, because your team is irrelevant all the time?
No, you know, in my opinion, it gives me a little bit more incentive to go out there and really stick it to you for the simple fact is you opened your mouth and said whatever you said. And I'm going to quiet you just by beating you, and hopefully beating you soundly, so you have nothing to say and will think twice about a rematch.
Hey, Jerry.
Say anything to rematch. Yes.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
How would you feel if you went out there, played your hardest game, and got your butt whooped?
Well, let me put it this way.
You'll feel like Mark Sanchez.
Let me put it this way. Vic did all the talking. I didn't say a word. I just went and played the game. If I got my butt kicked,
And you did. I'm going to tell you right now, this is what happened. This is what happened last year. This is a perfect example of what happened that could happen this year. Last year, I played Jerry 3 times in the regular season, and I ended up playing him 1 time in the playoffs. I swept him in the regular season. When the playoff came, I'm not going to make no excuses. I was on a boat. Yeah. But he beat me to advance in the playoffs and ultimately winning that championship. So I look at it like this. You can talk all the trash you want preseason, postseason, during the season, but as the playoffs come, if you're in there and I'm in there and I'm the one that put you out, I've got all the bragging rights because I went on to fight for a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, and all you did was show up for the party. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, that's what happened last year. I can't be dogging Jerry out too much. Yeah, I swept him, but he won when it counted and won the championship and won the money. So that's what I'm looking at is the Cowboys and the Giants. I mean, the Redskins did the same thing. They swept the Giants last year, but that's all they did. The Giants went on to win the Super Bowl. So the Cowboys can say whatever they want, or Jerry Jones can say whatever he wants, but the bottom line is they didn't go through the playoffs, and they didn't win the Redskins did.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on that or what?
Sure, it's been 28 minutes of Cowboys radio.
Does anybody else want to comment other than what Black just said? And then we can move on. Okay.
A minute and a half.
Well, hey, do your thing, man.
I'm gonna tell you my picks during the show.
Okay. All right, whatever. The other thing I want to go to is about the NFL and the NFLPA. They approved some rule changes. I don't know if you guys know about this. The Players Union has approved a rule change that will allow one designated player to return from injury reserve and play this season. The NFL Players Association also agreed to move the league's trading deadline back 2 weeks to after games in Week 8. NFL owners voted for both changes in May, but the union had to sign off on them, and did so Thursday, quite naturally, 6 days before the regular season kicks off. Excuse me. One marquee player placed on injured reserve will be able to return to practice after the 6th week of the schedule and to the lineup after the 8th week. That player must be on the 53-man roster after the final preseason cut, which comes Friday. Starting next year, a player who signs or reports to camp after it has started can start practicing and pass on day one after passing his physical instead of day 3 like it is this year. According to several other teams, already have candidates for that spot. Terrell Suggs for one. that he can he'll be able to come back. I'm trying to think who else. Terrell Thomas for one. Terrell Suggs for another. Just to name a couple of guys that will be able to come back after they sit out the first few games.
Hey,
you guys want to comment on it? I think Jeff wants to chime up on that. What's up, Jeff?
Wait. I didn't really have much to say. I mean, the thing is with the trade deadline, there's not a lot of in-season trades in the NFL, so I don't think that's going to make much of a difference. But I think with the injured reserve, that's a little more realistic because that's why so many teams will carry hurt guys on the roster because they don't want to put them on the IR and lose them for the year. So that makes a little sense.
Somebody else wanted to comment on that?
I wanted to ask you guys a question. I wasn't up on this. Did they adjust the active roster? Because I've always thought that active roster was just crazy how they was working that.
I'm not sure they adjusted the roster, but it's still a 53-man roster.
It's 50-man. Yeah, I know it's 53. It's a 53-man roster, but you can only dress so many.
Oh, yeah.
That needed to be. I thought that was, like, really crazy. You know, why you going to have a 53-man roster and you can't have them all dressed? Now, I get that you have to at least dress, you know what I'm saying, like 42 or 45, however they want to do that. You know what I mean? But
I think it's you dress 47 and you have 6 men on a practice squad, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody can
I think your practice squad is not on, it's not in your 53-man roster.
No, it isn't.
No. Okay. Okay. I thought it was.
It's a certain amount of players you can dress. Period. Per game.
46.
And it's not 53.
You could dress 46 if you designate one quarterback as the emergency quarterback. And then the other guys, I think it's 5 or 6, they're on the roster, but they're inactive from week to week. And then the practice squad guys, I think that's 6 or 7 guys, they're not part of the roster.
Right.
And the practice squad guys are only players in their first 3 seasons. After 3 seasons, guys aren't eligible for the practice squad anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, my question is this. You got 46, 47 guys that can dress. Jeff, if you know this, please tell us. What's the reasoning behind that? Why can't you dress all 53?
You know, it's a good question, and I got to admit, I'm looking this up as we speak. There's 53 players on the active roster, and you could dress 46. Jason Sehorn brought up that point. When a player from Buffalo was nearly paralyzed on special teams, Jason Sehorn suggested, this was when he was a commentator, you know, after his playing career was over, he said you have all these, you know, you have about a half dozen guys you don't dress every week. You should have them covering kicks and punts instead of maybe a tight end who's not as good a tackler as a defensive player. It makes sense. I'm not quite sure why.
If it's 46, then I think that's an adjustment. Because I think it was more than 6 or 7 guys. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that's 7 guys. I thought it was something like 7 is close. I think that's right. I think that's the same amount that it's been. So they haven't adjusted. Because you would go week to week, and sometimes some players were activated, some players weren't, and da 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 da. Oh man, that was just ridiculous.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say this opens the door to put a person like Maurice Jones-Drew, who hasn't reported to camp, on that list. You can say he reported, but he had a slight injury. And, you know, let him stay on that list, let him get his legs for a couple weeks, and then bring him back week 8, and you don't really lose much. Also, a kid like Adrian Peterson, who wants to come back now. They took him off the pup list, and, you know, they want to give him what he, something so he can get back into it and not really hurt him, and they can use Toby Gerhart until Adrian's really ready. So I can see a lot of teams using this to their advantage as far as scheming the system, so to speak. Like Michael LeSure, they can put him on the list even though he's got a suspension to serve and still come back in time. But they're not going to do that because Kevin Smith is going to get broke, and they need him in Detroit. So I just see that type of stuff going on.
And Jones-Drew is on the did-not-report list.
I know, but what I'm saying is if he...
Yeah,
if
I understand what you're saying.
You know, that would be something I would see happen. And can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
Before I let you go. So far, I've drafted LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Brandon Marshall, and Victor Cruz, and I'm coming up on my next pick. I'm probably going to get Doug Martin.
I got a question for you. Is this ESPN, NFL, CBS,
NFL.
Yahoo, and what type of league is it, and what draft position did you have?
This is – let me go ahead and get a quarterback since somebody took my guy. It is 10teamNFL.com. It is a regular standard league, and I had the fourth overall pick.
Let me take a guess. The first three picks were quarterbacks.
No, first three picks were Arian Foster, Aaron Rodgers, and Ray Rice.
Oh, okay, you understand.
Okay, and that's the reason why you took LeSean McCoy.
Of course. And
okay.
I'm about to pick up a third receiver, Antonio Brown. I don't need him, but I'm going to take him because somebody took one of my players I wanted.
So you have, at the running backs right now, just to stop this for a minute, we have the running backs right now is LeSean McCoy and Jamal Charles and who else?
That's it. I'm about to pick up Darren Sproles. I'm picking him over Cedric Benson and Michael Bush and Frank Gore.
Well, I hope you take another running back somewhere soon.
Yeah.
That's worth anything, because the fact is LeSean McCoy and Jamal Charles have the same bye week.
I know.
Okay.
I got it covered, bro. But that's where I'm at, because I like to have the same bye weeks for my running backs. So if two of them are down, the other two are coming up. You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about juggling them. But anyway, go back to the show, bro.
Okay. Let's get back to this. Then my next thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you heard about this or Vic may have heard about it. I don't know. The NFL and the U.S. Army have teamed up on a long-term program to care for and prevent concussions and head trauma, as well as other health issues. Roger Goodell and General Raymond T. Ordinario, the Army Chief of Staff. Okay. The Army Chief of Staff announced the initiative, and you must have heard of it, at the U.S. Military Academy on Thursday, which is today. They said the common traits between soldiers and football players, particularly when dealing with stressful situations, can lead to injury. A quote from Goodell says, "We can bring greater awareness not just to our two organizations, but to the general public. We will do all we can to get our players and the soldiers to what each other goes through. Will work to change our cultures by working closely together." Now, I don't. Ordinario said, "This is our most difficult challenge. We all base ourselves on the warrior's ethos and the soldier's creed. As soldiers, if you have a problem and you identify it, to me, that is courageous too. But self-selection is really difficult. There has to be a bond to take care of each other." The article goes on a little further. I just want to, since Vic happens to be a member of the U.S. Forces, and he must have heard about something like this. Vic, You care to comment on it?
Well, firstly, I have to put this out there. I am not speaking for the U.S. Army or in any capacity as a soldier. I'm just speaking on the on a person that may have had a few concussions, whether it was with my job or outside of my job. It is a big issue. It is a big issue. And any type of brain trauma, it's life-threatening. Because just like when I was minding my business with my kids at the indoor park thing, and I ran into the mess fence, I suffered a concussion along with my other injury. I mean, right now, I can look at my face, and I can see that my right eye is slightly drooped, whereas it normally wasn't. I can tell that there were some things that happened, you know, that caused me to not function correctly. I have a hard time remembering things. And just little small things, man. So I'll say this. Concussions in the NFL are just as prevalent in the military as well, if not more so, because of not getting hit in the head with something, but just the concussion from a cannon going off or a tank going off or just the weapon firing, you know, it happens. So, you know, it's something that people need to look out for.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that? Say what?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I have no idea.
That was a yawn.
He jerk.
Nah, you know what? Let me say this. I think as far as, you know, the U.S. Army is concerned, I think this is a grand move for them. I think it's beautiful for them. However, their counterparts, the NFL, this is more propaganda. So I'm yawning. That's the side I'm yawning on. I am yawning on that side. See, the difference between the U.S. Army in this deal and the NFL, I believe the U.S. Army is very serious. I believe that they are very serious about this. The NFL, I do not believe that they are serious at all about this. I think this is... it's putting me to sleep.
Really? You don't think the NFL's let's explore this for a minute. Why do you not think that the NFL is serious about this now? Wait a minute, let me finish. Because the simple fact is, all these lawsuits that have been coming down in the NFL, and for the last year or so, if not longer, they've been trying to address these traumatic head hits, and changing the rules to avoid head blows in the games, and finding guys astronomical amount of money when they make a hit in the head. Why don't you not think that the NFL is trying to help the player and the concussions that a lot of these players are sustaining now? And realizing that it's a bit more of a bigger problem than have ever been addressed.
Because they're not doing enough to address it. They're not doing enough to address it. All this floating around and, you know, dog and ponying with the U.S. Army is just not enough. It's not. You know, we've talked about this extensively. This is the same thing. Warmed over. They just put the U.S. Army in the pony suit, and no disrespect to them, because like I said, I think they're very serious about this. The U.S. Army has proven that the U.S. Army and the United States of America have proven that they're going to look at every option, every aspect, whatever stone they want to, they're going to turn, they're going to look at it. They're going to examine it. So I get why they're doing it. But the NFL, no. No, this is not enough. This is not enough. This league is 80 years old. 80. It's been 80 years or more. You know what I mean? And now you're just getting around to, you know, get with more doctors and get with more different institutions to figure this thing out. Really? It's not enough.
Anybody want to comment on that?
Propaganda them spread. Propaganda them spread. You must have forgot this was a non-profit, man. You really must have forgot.
Vic or Jeff, you care to respond to anything Mikhail has said?
Well, I'll let Jeff go because I've talked a lot. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, just to add what Vic was saying, I mean, unfortunately, I had a couple concussions, and concussions are no joke. And, you know, I don't live with a lot of regrets, but probably if there's something I can change in my life, maybe it would be not getting those two concussions.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them are preventable because one of them I got on black ice and there was no rock salt on the steps. And that really refried my beans. I mean, I can't even tell you how, for lack of a better term, how stupid I was afterwards. I mean, I got lost on the way home from my grandmother's house. I must have made that trip hundreds of times, you know. It's not funny. And the other one, a friend was horsing around outside a bar, and I ended up falling and hitting the pavement. So I'm not big on horseplay. You know what I'm saying? I'm always telling people, you know, hey, you know, it's all fun until somebody gets hurt or something, you know. So, you know, I tell everybody all the time, don't be stingy with the rock salt and don't horse around too much. So, and you know, it's sad. You see these too many former NFL players to mention have struggled with concussions. And the sad thing is, and I guess it's just human nature, the current players, a lot of them could care less. You know, but that's,
exactly.
That's part of the problem. But at least it's being addressed, kind of late, but it is finally being addressed. Got a long way to go.
Okay, still staying in the NFL, and would change it on a different note. And this could possibly lead to some type of injury, or one way or the other. The NFL announced Wednesday that the replacement referees will start the regular season as an ongoing labor dispute continues. And if the preseason is any indication, it could be a bit shaky. Now, I've seen a few and I've heard a few crazy things that have been said and happened on the field with these replacement referees who are from Division II and Division III colleges. And wherever else, the Arena League or whatever, even a female. And I don't think it's a female referee.
LFL, don't forget the Lingerie Football League as well.
Yes. Lingerie Football League. Well, they grabbed them from any entity that had NFL football in it. Let me put it that way. In my opinion, they grabbed them from anywhere that had a football referee to fill the spots that they needed to cover these games. My question is this: NFL is going into the season with these replacement refs. The regular refs are locked out, just like they did the players last year. They did the refs this year, with no end in sight. The NFL reps that are locked out, saying we're ready to negotiate, but no one's come to us to do any further negotiations. The NFL says we're waiting to negotiate, but no one has come to us for negotiations. So both parties are pretty much dug in right now, and the players and the general public that's going to be watching these games and the players that's going to be playing the game are going to have to deal, along with the coaches, are going to have to deal with these replacement referees. My question is this. Seeing what you've seen, if you guys have been watching these NFL games with the replacement refs, how long do you think before we see, in quotation marks, the real referees come back and do their thing, even though sometimes we hate them also? I'll run around the table with it. Let's talk with Jeff, Vic, Black, and then Macau.
It's just more NFL hypocrisy. You know, they talk about player safety all the time, but the referees, they have something to do with the safety. And, you know, the NFL makes money hand over fist, but they're getting stingy with the referees. But the referees are being greedy because they're getting paid $100,000 for part-time work. That's not too shabby. So obviously there should be a solution in there. But the NFL, a couple years ago, they laid off 10% of their staff because they thought they might lose money. I thought that was wrong. I mean, yeah, the economy was lousy, but their TV deals, their sponsorship deals were all in place. It wasn't like anybody cut off their money supply. But that's what the NFL is. It's a money-making machine, and that's why these billionaire guys own the teams, and I don't have two nickels to rub together. You know, this is how and why they make the money. So just total hypocrisy as usual. I mean, they were talking about they were concerned about player safety, but they wanted to expand the schedule to 18 games. They make no sense. But they don't have to make sense because they're rich old guys, and they got their money
right.
The old-fashioned way. They inherited it, and then they screwed a lot of people. So.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah. Oh, my God. Woo. Look, Jeff.
Jeff, I think you just made my cousin love you for it, you know.
Add one more to the club. Thank you very much.
All right, Vic.
Hey, enough of that Robert Griffin stuff, man.
All right.
You know
all right,
what?
Vic, go ahead. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Why you got to go there, dude? No, I mean, I really don't have any comment on it. It is what it is. People are going to do what they're going to do. Owners are owners. As Jeff said, they've either inherited it or some worked hard for it, like Arthur Blank, who took Office Depot and made several franchises and now is an NFL owner. But, you know, no matter who has the money, if you cannot do something for the NFL as an owner, they're not going to let you own a team. Every owner has to add some sort of value to the organization. Otherwise, you're worthless to them, and that's just the way they are with their players. You know, you got to make me some money, or I'm gonna let you go. And Brian Mitchell said it on the locker room with Doc Walker. He said the NFL does two things: it gives you money, and then it finds a way to take money away from you. And that's just the way it is for a lot of the NFL players and these owners. They give you money just to take it away from you. That's it.
Okay. Black.
Man, I really hope that they get their money. I understand that the NFL refs are the lowest paid refs out of all the organizations, NBA, NHL. Those guys get about $100,000. I think the average NFL ref averages about $30,000 to maybe $70,000, $80,000 a year. I'm just feel sorry for these replacement refs because I see one of them in the Hudson River soon with these blown calls. the gamblers are going to be out in full force week one, and it's a sticky situation. The NFL needs to hurry up and bring the regular guys back, man. Pay these guys. Pay them.
Can I say one thing? I mean, I like the refs too, but this is off the subject. Final draft. I just finished the draft. 30 minutes, which is pretty daggone good. Here's my team as I drafted it. LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Brandon Marshall, Victor Cruz, Matt Schaub, Cedric Benson, Vernon Davis, Deshaun Jackson, Michael Bush, Ben Roethlisberger, the Eagles defense, Kendall Wright, Ben Tate, Brandon Pettigrew, and Billy Cundiff. That's the team I drafted in that war.
Well, that's a pretty good team. That's a pretty good team. I think you're probably pretty happy with that team, right?
Pretty happy, yes.
11, 12. Okay.
Go ahead.
Macau, you want to comment on what I just said?
The NFL is not going to change its stripes. You know, I would really love to see these refs by week two, but something is telling me we won't see them until at least mid-season. If we do see them, you know, I pray that I'm wrong because I was watching my beloved Redskins the other game, and the referee went to review a play. Then he came back, and then, you know, the team was lining up, and then he whistled again, and then he came out and he said, "We're going to review it again." I was like, what? Oh, my goodness. And then they showed where the other Bama was turned from the TV screen, and then another Bama was like, Arizona would get the ball, but it was Atlanta and another team. Arizona wasn't there playing. Yo, you guys are right. You know, it's if the NFL was so much about safety, you know what I'm saying, why wouldn't they, you know, aggressively go at and sign these referees? It clearly shows their hypocrisy.
The Red Cross is a nonprofit about safety, not the NFL.
Black, let me say something. My cousin will not like this when I say this. But the NFL, as a nonprofit, they do not negotiate with financial terrorists. They don't do that. They don't negotiate with them, Slim. They're not going to negotiate. You know better. They want their money. They want their money, and they want everybody's hands out of their pockets, and you can't say nothing about it. They've shown that. They're going to keep doing it. You know the propaganda, sir. You know the protocol. You want to sit down there. My cousin going to get on me.
Black, you care to comment, Black?
I've already commented.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we got like 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go around the table before I close this show out. I'm going to go Black, Mikhail, Victor, and then Jeff, and then I'll give the final word.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I was totally bamboozled at today's show. I'm sorry I couldn't inform you of what was going to happen in the first 28 minutes. I apologize for that terrible radio you heard earlier. But I wish all these folks on here luck on Saturday in the Parlay Palace draft.
Yes, we will be drafting.
Good times in that draft. There's going to be some good weeks. We got games of the week every week in there. So I wish these owners luck. But make sure you tune in to the show tomorrow. No Chaser with my man Jerry Taylor, my man Mac Williams. There should be some fireworks. This RNC thing is going down, and a lot of craziness going around. A lot of craziness. So tune in.
Okay. Next.
My name is Macau, and I'm a sportsaholic. You know, after this show, I always feel like I done 12-step. So I have to say that. But peace and blessings, everybody. I may come through tomorrow night and shoot some sniper shots at my man Mac.
It's mandatory. It's not. You might come through.
Victor.
Well, I'll say this. I enjoy all the shows here on Blog Talk Radio that come off from this group. First time I was able to completely do an FSP crew show with you as the host, JT. So it was interesting. I love doing it. NFL, right around the corner. Unfortunately, I got to work the opening weekend of the NFL season. So I'm going to miss every game. except for Thursday's game.
Oh.
And or Wednesday's game, whatever day it comes on. So I will be using my HD DVD-R and watching my skins beat up on those Saints. Because,
watch them out, watch them out, watch them out, watch them out, watch them out.
No, they're going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win.
Oh, watch them out,
so,
watch them out, watch them out.
I hope to see that, and let's get this season on and over with so I can win some money in fantasy football. And HTTR, baby, HTTR.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I want to wish everybody luck in the fantasy drafts, unless you're going against me. And
that's true.
And if anybody listening, make sure to get in those draft rooms early just to make sure there's no computer issues, because there's a lot of that going around on NFL.com, on CBS Sportsline, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, especially when you're paying for these sites, they really, you shouldn't have so many problems at draft time, because I did a draft Friday, and that was just one problem after another. And I haven't experienced it myself, but I'm looking into MyFantasyLeague.com. It's supposed to be a pretty solid site, and I think that's what people need to do if you're not happy with CBS Sportsline or ESPN or Yahoo. You got to shop around because we're the customers. So, again, good luck to everybody, except unless you're going against me. So, take care.
All right. With that being said, tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mac Williams is the host. I'm the co-host. The show is No Chaser. The Republican National Convention was over the last few days. The political climate has heated up, and I think the conversation tomorrow will heat up also. I suggest you, if you like to get into and talk politics, I'm on the left, Max on the right. I guarantee you it's going to be some fireworks tomorrow. He's vowed not to talk politics anymore. I think I'm going to pull him out of that tomorrow.
What? He's not going to talk politics?
Well, supposedly he's not talking any more politics on Facebook. That's what he told me last week. Now, I haven't seen anything that pertains to politics on Facebook over this past week from him. So he may be holding true to form so far. We'll see what happens tomorrow if he's going to be talking politics or he's going to defer to some type of sports agenda. I kind of doubt it. On Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the FSP show, hosted by Vic Gardner, who you've been listening to over the last hour, also hosted by myself and whoever jums in. Maybe McCall will jump in there. Maybe Black will jump in there. We may be talking about some college football, I think, Vic. Black, I think, wants to talk about that because college football is gearing up. And also, on the master plan, it will not be at 10 a.m., but there will be a show. It will be at 12 p.m. Be a two-hour special draft show. We're going to be going over the positions that are pertaining to fantasy football that we covered over the last several weeks, running backs, tight ends, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and IDPs for the first hour. For the second hour, at 1 o'clock, is when our draft starts. So we're going to be having a live draft and in the show also with Vic and myself, and whoever else jumps on the show. We're going to be drafting live and talking about our draft, talking about why we drafted whatever players in that draft. And we have enough time where we recap the draft after the draft is over. I don't know if it's going to go past the show or may. And then Compassion Dakini is on Tuesday, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Kim Bunn, she's a wholly different change of pace show. She's getting a lot of listeners. Very intuitive show. You should listen to it. You'll be enlightened. And then we have on Wednesday, Mikal, Grown Soul and Real Talk, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's just what I said. It's Grown Soul and Real Talk, adult conversation. You jump in there, you better be an adult, and you better be able to carry yourself. Otherwise, you will get handled. Let me put it that way. So.
You sure will.
And with that, with all that being said, as long-witted as I was, Victor's still here, and you know what the deal is, Victor.
For the long-winded old-timer who sticks his finger in his butt to get gas, the Dallas Cowboys fan who likes to rap, the cousin who has his own show and loves to talk to the women and get the draws, and me, Mr. FSP, and the Jewish black man on the radio, Jeff the Joker.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're lucky you haven't got muted, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh,
have fun.
Because you muted me last time. You've been listening to...
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.